John 4:29 reads, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" Hello and welcome back to Think This Way, the podcast of Faith Bible Church. I'm your host, Pastor Bryce. Today I have with me, just like 2 weeks ago, an evangelist extraordinaire and, in a sense, an unofficial professor of evangelism in our church who is helping teach our ACE class right now, and many other good descriptions that I could give, but I'll refrain. It is Dan Gielock. Thanks for being with us, Dan.
Oh, thanks, Bryce. You know, it's been way too long since we've gotten together. I'm thankful for this opportunity. Thank you for having me back.
We record these back-to-back, hence the joke. But we'll maintain the fiction that it's been 2 weeks, because that's how you'll experience this. So good to see you again, Dan.
Oh, thank you.
Well, today we are talking some more about actually objections to evangelism. And 2 weeks ago for you, if you remember, Dan gave us a wonderful description, emboldening, full of hyphens, to get us motivated to share the gospel. That being said, we are still starting this quarterly focus of podcasts on evangelism with, we had the definition and then 3 episodes on objections. Reasons that we probably wouldn't state, but they're in our mind to keep us from evangelism. We've talked about 2 already. I've got just 1 last one to talk about today, and I'm calling it Start Before You're Ready. The objection we're answering is, I am not ready. I am not ready to evangelize, which we'll talk about. We defined evangelism several episodes ago using Max Stiles' definition of evangelism is teaching the gospel with the aim to persuade. And that teaching the gospel, it does mean you have to know the gospel. You can't really teach it if you don't know it. So, of course, you've got to have the content. So, yes, it is possible for someone not to be ready. If you literally don't know the gospel, you're not ready to share the gospel. Granted, you also are not a believer, because how would you believe in what you don't know? So you've got to at least know the basics. If you're wanting a refresher, though, because we do forget things, on the basics of the gospel, you can go back to episodes 27 and 28 of this podcast, where we talk about that in 2 parts. You can read Greg Gilbert's book, What is the Gospel? Or just listen to the next few seconds, because that's the first question I wanted to ask you, Dan. So someone who's thinking about sharing the gospel, what is the bare minimum that someone needs to know in order to share the gospel with someone else?
Well, it can be easily summed up in 7 words. Mm. Now, these 7 words will expand into a longer conversation, but God, man, sin, God's response, our response. If you use those words, you will describe what the gospel is. Hmm. 1 Corinthians 15, we use this often. Paul said that he delivered the first important thing that he had received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, raised again according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to over 500 people. And if you were a person that easily fixated or easily remembered songs, you could say, Holy God in love became perfect man to bear my blame. On the cross he took my sin. By his death I live again. Or a very helpful, simple verse, 1 verse that you can use, and you can scribble an illustration on a piece of paper, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, Romans 6:23. That is the gospel in a nutshell.
And you're so right that these are points that can be expanded. But especially with today's objection, I'm not ready to share the gospel. It's good to go back and say, listen, there's a lot of depth to the gospel, more than we'll ever plumb. But if you just need enough information to share the gospel with someone else, that's all you have to know. They just heard you say it, Dan. So you've got it. So that removes your excuse. But again, okay. So let's say you've got those basics down. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. You know God's holy. We've sinned against him. His response to our sin is his judgment. Jesus died to take our sins so that we are not judged. He was judged, so we're not. We're forgiven of our sins. Okay, you know that. it can still feel like I'm not ready yet. Let me get it clearer. Let me get it firmer. Let me know some more answers. I want to push back against that feeling that we've all had at some point. With the text I started with, John 4:29, and the context is that's the woman at the well, famously, that Jesus interacted with in Samaria. He meets this woman at a well, talks with her. He actually exposes her sin, that she had been married multiple times and was with a man, not her husband. So that's what he exposed. She realizes, she says, "You must be a prophet." Jesus does it one better and says, "Oh, not a prophet, the Christ." She goes into the city, runs in there while Jesus is still at the well. And here is her evangelism. I love it because she knows not much at all. Just this stranger told her everything that she had done. And here's what she says. "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did," meaning her sin. "Can this be the Christ?" And I appreciated that because even, you know, that's not even a statement. It's not even, "He's the Christ." It's just, "Could this be the Christ?" The amazing thing is she leads a revival, you know, because everyone does come and see, goes to Jesus, hears the gospel more from him of the kingdom, and believes because of his testimony. I just think for those of us who struggle with feeling, "I'm not ready yet," let me just assure you, this lady wasn't ready. Not at all. But she just went and told what she knew, which is what we can do. And granted, you say, "Okay, but Jesus isn't over there. I can't say, like, go over there, talk to Jesus." Yes. You have something better. You got the Bible. I mean, you literally have his words. They're everywhere. So an encouragement for someone to come read the Gospel of John, they can encounter Jesus in that way, is good, even with minimal knowledge. Now, that being said, still, the objection, the fear can remain. And I think for many people, it's not that they don't know the basics of the gospel, it's they will feel not ready if someone they're sharing with responds with a question. So you're sharing the basic gospel, no problem. But then they respond with what you think is going to be a really hard Bible question. And if you don't know the answer, you're going to look like a fool. Maybe they're not going to be convinced. So people might think, "I'm not ready because I don't know all the Bible answers." Dan, how would you help someone who has that fear?
Well, I think your use of the John 4 passage is absolutely wonderful, Tice, because this woman, while she had some rudimentary theological understanding, not accurate, and her life was a hot mess.
Yeah, it was. Yep.
Like many of the rest of us. God used her, and people came to Christ and said, "Well, now we heard first because of what you said, but now we believe on our own." So we need to be encouraged there. So I think that we need to stop thinking that we have to have all of the answers and that any one of us is responsible for somebody else's salvation. It's perfectly okay to say, "Well, you know, that's a great question. I don't know that. Let me look that up, and let's, next time we get together, let's talk about that." And trust God for the outcome for that person. And then second, study. In sales, I spent a bit of my career in sales. And there are always just a handful of objections that always come out. And it doesn't matter who the person is. The person who has an advanced degree in physics, the person who is panhandling on the street, they're going to bring up the same objections. There aren't too many of them. So with over 2,000 years of Christian history, the answer is probably out there. And they're wonderful resources, Without a Doubt, by Kenneth Richards Samples, Evidence That Demands a Verdict, by Josh McDowell, 10 Lies About God, Erwin Lutzer, The Case for Christ, Lee Strobel. So prepare. Prepare. As a matter of fact, I even think Peter said something about that, didn't he, in 1 Peter 3? You know, always be ready. We can prepare.
Excellent point. Yeah, and that first point you're making too, with the woman at the well knowing so little and just inviting people. It does remind me, you know this Spurgeon quote about defending the Bible. It's unnecessary because the Bible's like a lion. you just let it out of its cage.
Let it out.
That's a very exciting quote, but also true in evangelism. Yeah. That's all she was doing because she was a hot mess. She just said, but, you know, she's not saying, come to me and I'll tell you all the answer. But she said, hey, why don't you go to this guy?
And that was a wonderful part of my own experience. Mm-hmm. Reading through the book of Matthew, I thought God had revealed everything in the book of Matthew. And it really opened my eyes to the beauty of Christ. Mm-hmm. Just reading his word.
Yep.
Pick up and read.
Pick up and read. Well, another similar objection people can feel, it's slightly different, but it's pretty similar, is, okay, maybe someone's not afraid of getting those hard questions, but it's more a mechanics question, you know, of maybe they've seen someone else share the gospel and that person just whips out a napkin and draws a diagram, a bridge diagram on there. People sometimes will have a kind of method for how we're going to share, even those steps we talked about, God, man, you know, Christ, response. Someone might feel like, I'm not ready because I don't have a step-by-step method of how to present the gospel to someone. What would your advice be to someone who doesn't feel ready because they don't have a method down?
Well, first off, pray. Now, pray for wisdom. Pray for God to open up your mind. Listen. Second step is listen to the person. You're building a relational conversation and should consider the effect it has on us when we believe someone has truly listened to us. Be curious, ask lots of questions, and listen so that we understand who the person is, what drives them, what concerns them. In his book, Evangelism and the Sovereignty of God, J.I. Packer writes, "The right to talk intimately to another person about the Lord Jesus Christ has to be earned, and you earn it by convincing him that you are his friend and really care about him." The president of our college, Dr. Robert A. Cook, used to tell the story of sharing the gospel with some stranger he just met, and the man said, "I don't want to be one of your blankety-blank converts. I want someone to care about me." And it's true. So pray, listen, and then share. Share the simple, powerful, effective, life-giving, word, world-changing gospel and how it impacted you. Share the gospel and share your testimony. And then prepare. You know, 1 Peter 3 again. Be ready to make a defense. And you can. You can do that. There are lots of resources, books, tracks. You can have a simple gospel track and read it with a person. You know, say, hey, this is a track that a friend of mine has or that somebody gave to me. And look, it tells a great story. Let's go through this together. And after time, after a while, as we exercise these muscles, we'll become more agile. We'll become better able to respond to different nuances in a conversation, different needs, different perspectives that the person has. So, yeah, other Christians, the J. Max Stiles book is very helpful in bringing your evangelism into the great benefit of corporate evangelism. Jesus sent out people two by two. Now, every fact is to be confirmed by two or three witnesses. And if you have other people that are verifying what you've said in the gospel, what you've said about God's word, that's going to be powerful. Have other people praying for you as you pray for, share the gospel with your friend, neighbor, coworker.
And that comment too that you made about as you exercise, you get more agile. And most learning does happen best by doing it. Do it, fail, figure out how you failed and learn. And that's why even this objection of wait till you're ready. There are things you can do to be ready, and you pointed them out helpfully, like studying, figuring out what people are going to say, getting answers, read some good books about it. But a lot of the learning, even in how to answer people's objections or how to share method or whatever, most of that, you just learn it by doing it, which is the scary part, but it's true. So if you wait till you're ready, you're not going to do it. Actually, doing it is part of what makes you ready to do it.
I would like to add one more thing, and I've alluded to this before. If someone in the conversation has a really thorny issue it's perfectly okay to say, that's a really important question. I don't know that I've got all the answers to that. Let me get back to you on that. But let me tell you, if I may, something that's really important that I think is foundational, and then share the gospel. Never substitute apologetics for the gospel. Hmm. Never substitute the gospel with your testimony. Share the gospel.
Well, you who are listening to this, maybe that has been your struggle. People do ask you hard questions when you evangelize and you're not sure what to say, so you've given up evangelizing. Or maybe you just don't feel ready, you don't have enough knowledge, you're not sure how you would even go about sharing the gospel, so you haven't done it. Whatever the case might have been in the past, may God help us all now to think this way.